This is KRCU's Going Public. I'm Dan Woods. The quality of air in the home is critical for all of us, but more so for those suffering with asthma. Dr. John Kramer is the director of the Institute for Environmental Health Assessment and Patient-Centered Outcomes. He's a professor of biology and environmental science and director of the university's Center for Environmental Analysis. Kramer has completed research and training related to the identification and management of environmental triggers. He's here to tell us more about the work he and his colleagues are doing to help people breathe easier. I spoke with John on the television program SE Connect. So, John, good to talk with you. We chatted on the phone a little bit getting ready for this, and I was fascinated by the work you're doing.
Thank you.
But first, tell us a little bit about yourself first.
Okay. I've been here at Southeast for 23 years. It's my 23rd year teaching biology and environmental science. Very excited still about that, right? Even after 23 years, I love it every day. So my background is all environmental science, environmental health. So that kind of bled over into where we are now with our asthma program and working in conjunction with the Department of Health and Senior Services to be able to provide these programs to participants who are eligible, but pretty much we see everybody.
Yeah. So tell us about the Institute and kind of what you do.
Okay, well, our Institute and our center basically are put together to, in this case, help people who have breathing difficulties, whether it's asthma, COPD, so it could be children or adults, that we go and try to identify triggers in the home that affect their ability to be able to breathe easier.
Right? Okay.
So that is really in this gist what we do. We work in conjunction with CDC and Department of Health and Senior Services to make this happen here in Missouri.
So what services do you provide? So when you go to a home, how long does it take? What do you do while you're there? What's it look like?
Well, we walk in, right? We try to call you first, kind of set it up so we can get some background information about where you live, things around you, comorbidities like other diseases you may have that could affect your health also. So that we get a clear picture kind of what we're walking into. And then we show up at the home. We have various instruments that we use to, as we walk through, we take measurements of the air, some very basic things, some, and then some that are not so basic, so that we can better identify those triggers that might be in the home, like particles is a big thing that we sample. And we look at those because the smaller ones go deepest in the lung. And if you already have a disease, right, then all that does is get lower. It lasts for a long time in the lower resources or recesses of your lung, and then it irritates the lung longer, which means more irritation, more illness, right? We need to find out what those are so we can get rid of them if possible so that you can be better.
So when you make this initial phone call before you go, you can probably learn a lot by just the phone conversation even before you arrive, can't you?
Absolutely. We ask a lot of questions about where, you know, location, where they live. We get a lot of information about existing health conditions that they already are suffering with. Medications, which sometimes tells us if they've been allergy tested already. If so, we can find out what that is before we show up, which makes us not to have to dig so hard when we walk in. They say, oh, I'm allergic to cats and dogs, and you walk into three cats, two dogs, and a guinea pig. I kind of know what it is, right? So it helps us to identify those kinds of things easier so that then we can really concentrate on those hidden aspects that aren't quite so simple to find, and then help you with those too.
So when you go to a home to do the assessment, how long are you there to do that measure?
Kind of depends on the size of the house, but anywhere between an hour to 2 hours to do everything that we do so that we can get a good picture of what's happening and be able then to have a discussion with you before we leave.
And I think you told me that insurance, and there's some coverage to help people to cover the expense of this, right? Somehow?
There is. Some of the insurances that private insurance we deal with actually will contract with us. Medicaid also is a big player now. It took a long time, but that got passed a couple of years ago. We actually helped write the rules for that with Department of Social Services.
Wow.
And now that is covered under Medicaid. So the managed care organizations directly feed patients to us. We have a referral system that we developed with our partnership with the state. It is a HIPAA secure system, and it can be used by physicians, nurses, respiratory therapists, school nurses, anybody who, even private individuals. but they can send us this information to make referral to us so that we can then call them and determine about the need to go out. One of the other things that we're doing within that is training other people, because it is really our hope that we're going to build hubs across the state. And if we can train individuals like at public health agencies where they could go out and do this for us, right? Mm-hmm. So that we don't have to go all over the state. Not that we mind doing that, but we would rather have these hubs so it's much more centered, it's faster, easier for people to get services, which means it's easier for them to get an answer to what's making them sick.
Yeah. So what are some of your more interesting cases? I think you told me on the phone, you went to one house, you asked them if they had pets, and they said no, and you show up, and what did you find there in the house?
Right, we found 24 rabbits in the front room, all caged, and they continually kept 24 rabbits in there. And we asked them about it. We said, we thought you didn't have animals in the house. And they go, well, they're not pets. We eat them. So, you know, it's still a pet. It's still an animal. It's still putting dander in the air. And it was very much an irritant to the asthmatics who lived in that house. So we had a long talk with them about all animals and how they can affect your health. So that was an interesting one. For sure.
Well, and you said one of the most important steps in this process is you want to have a conversation with people, right?
Exactly.
How important is that?
It's super important. Yeah, we want to go make assessments. Well, we don't really want to assess you. We want to visit with you. We want to have a conversation with you because that lets us be more comfortable together. It lets us have a freer exchange of information so that we can, we hope, find out all those intricacies that we might not get if we just stuck to a checklist, so that we can learn more about the people we're trying to help, right? And then they can ask questions of us. They might learn more about us. But together we have that conversation or that visit, and then it usually ends much better than if it was just a checklist.
And you're there to help. So the more they tell you, the easier it is for you to do your job.
Absolutely. But sometimes people see assessments as asking questions that are, you know, getting too deep into their lives. But a visit, right, is a visit, right? And they open up much more to us, and we found that to be the much more successful way to do this.
Had any other real interesting cases that just, one of those that you just never forget about, besides the rabbits?
Oh, well, rabbits are one, but I could tell you one that actually was one that really gets your attention, and I wish it was the only time we run into this, but it ended up to be a good story at the end. But when we went into a home up by St. Louis, and as we were going through the home, we were visiting a family that had a 2-year-old boy who had been sent to the emergency room twice to be resuscitated.
Oh.
Right? So that shouldn't be, right? So they called us and said, can you come up and take a look? Because we just cannot get a handle on this 2-year-old. We're giving him medications, but he's not getting any better. So we think there's something at home. We said, sure. So we went. We had the nice visit with them. Mm-hmm. And as we went through the house, the part that really gets you is we opened up a couple of doors that were underneath the cabinetry in the bathroom to see if there were water leaks, looking for mold and that kind of thing. And he stood with us, and as he pointed and said, rat tail. And I'm pretty tall, so I had to get down and look, and I saw, there's a rat standing right there. It looked at us. We looked at it. It didn't run. The 2-year-old didn't run. They had clearly met before. Right?
Wow.
So that was, you know, that really gets your attention.
Yeah.
But it gets worse. As we left that area and went into the adjoining bedroom, which is where he spent most of his time, we pulled back the carpet. His mother said, be careful, there's a hole in that floor over there. So we pulled back the carpet to see how bad it was. Mm-hmm. And there were snakes underneath waiting for the rats to come back out because they were going to eat the rats. So that was a home that nobody should have been in. So, you know, it was government housing. We made a few calls. I said, what time do you open tomorrow? They said 8:00. I said, I'll be there at 8:01. And, you know, we showed up. We ran through everything that we'd seen. We had pictures to show everything. And before noon, that little boy was moved out of that house into better housing for him and the rest of his family. And it was clearly that house that was making him sick. So from something that was, you know, very bad conditions, right, which is a bad day,
mm-hmm.
to being able to, you know, less than 24 hours, we have them out of that home into a clean home and he's been better. And, you know, I'll knock on wood, you know, he has not been back to the emergency room since that time.
That's good.
So the home did make a difference.
Yeah. You told me you went to some kind of fair not too long, I guess before COVID maybe, mm-hmm. and people came up and you were able to do some tests there on site, and you told me you helped a lot of people just at that
event. Oh, sure. That was when we had Asthma Day in the Park.
Okay, there
it was.
You go.
Yeah, it was Asthma Day in the Park, and we had about 900 people show up to that event, which is fantastic. Yeah. And I know our partners were great at that one, and we were able to screen for many things, and one of them was asthma. And we identified 80 children who had not been previously diagnosed as severe asthmatics. So we're able to identify those folks and then get with their parents to get them help that they need.
That has to feel pretty good when you know you've helped that many people.
It absolutely does. It's what makes us do it every day.
Yeah, we got just a couple, I'll bet 2 minutes left or so. Sorry. So before we go, how often are pets an issue? I'm guessing that's probably
it's a huge issue. Yeah, it's a huge issue. You know, if people have pets, they never want to get rid of them. They don't want them to sleep outside. So we have to come up with alternatives to help them. And one of them is to create a safe area within a home. So it could be that child's bedroom, right? And we could just say, make sure the pet doesn't go in there. We make sure we have filtration on the vents so we can catch all those big particles flying out of there and keep it as particle free as possible, and that way the pets can stay in the home, right, which makes usually the children very happy that they don't have to get rid of the pet, but also keeps them safe.
Because some of us get really attached to our pets.
Absolutely. I'm one of them, and I would hate to have to get rid of the pets I have too, but we are able to work together and come up with some good ideas to help solve that.
It's been very interesting, and we've been putting your email address on the screen there, so if folks have questions, they can get in
Absolutely.
Touch with you and
be happy to help anybody anytime.
Right. John, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Dr. John Kramer is the director of the Institute for Environmental Health Assessment and Patient-Centered Outcomes. He's also a professor of biology and environmental science and director of Southeast Missouri State University's Center for Environmental Analysis. If you or someone you know is suffering from some breathing issues like asthma or COPD and you'd like to reach out to John, we've put his email address and phone number on our website. Just go to krcu.org, click on local, and then going public. To hear more interviews, visit krcu.org.